foil stamped. It's backed with cloth. There are no other sequins like it that I've been able to find. So I had questions about how it was going to act in time. Mm. So I do have these questions about time and about scale that recur in multiple projects. So I learned that the sequin is mostly silver on its surface. But when you look at things through the SEM microscope, they're read by the periodic table of elements. So you can really see exactly which elements in the periodic table occur in your sample. And I learned that chlorine is deposited by the human hand. So I'm now thinking about touch differently.
Oh, wow.
It's like that's our trace. That's our human trace on an object. I wouldn't have known that before that.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking today to Jen Bervin about her latest book from Nightboat Books, Silk Poem. So you've been listening to Between the Covers. I'm David Naiman, your host.
Cable Community Radio is proud co-sponsor of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, a four-day multidisciplinary event from May 23rd to May 28th in various venues in North and Northeast Portland. The Vanport Mosaic Festival includes exhibits, art performances, a reunion and celebration of former Vanport residents, oral history documentary screenings of Priced Out and Lost City, Living Memories, and tours of the historic Vanport City. Again, that's the Vanport Mosaic Festival, a four-day multidisciplinary event from May 23rd to May 28th, taking place in various venues in North and Northeast Portland. More information about the festival, including specific performances, screenings, dates, times, and venues, can be found at kvoo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to the Film Show. I'm KBOO. I'm SW Counselor, and today I'm joined live in the studio by one of the guiding talents behind the Cascade Festival of African Films. Babawage Jakite is an author, illustrator, storyteller, and founder of the Kofalan Cultural Center in Mali. And we're also joined by Mia Firm. She is the Education Programs Manager for the Northwest Film Center, and she's brought a couple of young filmmakers with her. Henry Craddock and Mackie Mallison have directed the short film Captured. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, Mia, we'll be asking you, all of you, about the Fresh Film Workshop and its offshoot, Fresh Fear, in just a few minutes. But first, we have the great pleasure of having Babawage Jakite join us today. Babawage, we have had the honor of hosting your spouse, Rana Neuenschwander, on the show. She's one of the organizers of the Cascade Festival of African Films. And we've welcomed your daughter, Penda Jakite, as well. She's a filmmaker who's worked in both the U.S. and Mali. And you're here because you have an event coming up June 14th at the Clinton Street Theater.
Yes, indeed. And it's an extraordinary evening of storytelling, a collaborative fundraiser between KBOO and Kofalan Cultural Center. And it's an evening that should not be missed. And it's at Clinton Theater, the 14th of June.
Right. You'll be doing some storytelling. There'll be some live music. And you'll also be screening a fairly new film. It's called Keita, Heritage of the Griot. It's a part documentary, part history with some mythology and magical realism thrown into the mix as well.
Yes, indeed. It is Africa's 13th century epic tale about Sundiata Keita, the founder of Mali Empire. So because this story of Sundiata is such a long story, the film is just a small dent into that story. So to recap people, from the beginning of the story of Sundiata and to where the film will begin, that will help the audience to better understand the movie.
Now, yes, as you said, the Keita in the title, the great storyteller Sundiata Keita.
Yes.
He is played in the film by the Malian actor Sotigui Kouyaté. Sotigui Kouyaté. And the director of the film is Sotigui's son, Danny Kouyaté.
Yes. They're both West African filmmakers and actors. So this story about griots, which are the oral historian in West Africa, is it's a very complex way of life because they are from caste family, which means they're not noble family, but yet they're more privileged than most noble. Most nobles, because they are the keeper of the West Africa, the key of the West Africa stories. And it goes from father to son. And so they are actually telling a story that is about a fearless buffalo woman, except in this particular movie, you won't see that part. So for people to understand where this whole the story come from all the way to the beginning of the story, and the film is only an hour and a half, and then beyond the film, there's more of that story, which we will be talking about after the film as film discussion. You mentioned African Film Festival. I've been a part of that. And my inspiration to be a part of African Film Festival is actually from the programs that I had started in Mali long ago, because my organization, the Kofaling Cultural Center mission statement is to promote better relationship through dialogue, respect, and through art and what do you call it, and storytelling and formal education. So back in Mali, I have been doing the story program for the last 15 years. It's right at this moment that is being opened up in the U.S. And it's a different type of storytelling. It's called the stories of our lives. So this fundraiser with KBU is helping to bring that program in our own community right here in Portland. So
now I think this event coming up on the 14th of June, this will be a great opportunity for people to learn more about Mali, about the cultural scene there.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you just listen to the news, you hear a lot about the civil strife and about the repression.
Yes.
Of so much of the traditional culture that's been happening in the last few years, the North-South, the uprisings. But back in the time of Sundiata Keita, back in the 13th century, Mali was this incredible cultural center, educational center, music, all kinds of incredible culture.
Yes, indeed. Even after the Western occupation, the French occupation in West Africa went on over 100 years. Even after that, from 1960s, Mali and many West African countries were doing absolutely good. And the music, the tradition, it's one of the area around the world that the culture was still together, you know, close paced together after 100 years of colonization, but it stayed glued for a while until the incident of mercenaries and men with gun come from what's the name of the country?
Algeria or?
No. Libya.
Libya.
Libya, and then suddenly, since then, last 7 years, there's been a chaos in that part of the world, which, though the southern part of Mali is so far south, but once there is a problem in the country, it affects every corner of that country. And that's the dilemma that we're going through. However, Malian people are great storytellers, and nothing will stop them engaging the momentum of story gathering. And I am one of those people. Every time I go to Mali, I bring people together to forget our religious differences, our ethnic differences, put everything that tear us apart, but come together as human and share our stories. And it worked so perfectly over there. And that is what inspired me to come to Portland and do the same thing here.
Well, I know that some of the Western musicians and audiences have been leery about coming to Mali the last few years, and I hope that's changing now. How are things at the Kofalan Center, the cultural center that you founded? Tell us a few stories.
Well, things are going well. In fact, Kofalan Cultural Center had become a hope that I was not anticipating, because with all this chaos, the consistency of government education, it's not sustainable. So therefore, we started this program recruiting children that parent cannot otherwise afford formal education to begin teaching our children, get their birth papers to transfer them to public school. But it turned out that the public school is not doing a better job. Teachers are not being paid. There's a lot of problem with the system right now. So, which increasingly parents are coming to, you know, demanding that their children be gone to our education system, because it's the only sustainable system that kids can, both parents and kids can count on to get their education. Although we're not school, we are a tutoring center. As an artist, it's very difficult because I have to pay my staff there to continue teaching these students. But it is going well, you know, in our part. We started collaborating with some schools, other schools, guaranteed that if our high school kids can be gone to their school, then we will pay directly their education fee. So we're doing every means we can to continue the education part. And we also do art program.
Very important.
Yeah, we used to bring 20 people at a time to Bamako and put their hand in local craft and working with local artists. But this problem in the north had put a dent onto that for now. The only thing that has been working swiftly in Mali and here is this program of storytelling, and we all need it. It's not just because we don't have Al-Qaeda in the United States here doesn't mean people of the United States don't have problem with with their political leaders and so forth. So you have to say world problem, especially in Mali, is not all about what's happening in the north. It's also a frustration with politicians that the population are encountering.
Well, it's good to know. I mean, you can't know who you are, know your heritage without art and music and story.
Absolutely.
Well, people will have a chance to support the Kofalan Center with this benefit that's coming up. Mm-hmm. The Kofalan benefit happens the evening of Thursday, mm-hmm. June 14th at the Clinton Street Theater in mm-hmm. Portland. There will be live music, Kora musician Will Dudley. There will be storytelling. There will be Malian crafts for sale.
Absolutely.
And the screening of Keita, Heritage of the Griot. Mm-hmm. More information can be found at cstpdx.com. Mm-hmm. And the annual Cascade Festival of African Films takes place every February at Portland Community College's Cascade Campus. Their website is africanfilmfestival.org. And Baba Wage, you are personally still very active in the local community, teaching workshops in art and writing. How can people find out more about your work and about the Kofalan Cultural Center in Mali?
Well, for a personal thing, if you want to see my stuff, it's babawagewordpress.wordpress.com. And if you are looking for a ticket for this the 14th of June event, you go to the Clinton Theater itself, or you can go to info@kofale.org, which is kofalen.org. So you can get the ticket to see the skater, and no one will be turned away. So to say, okay, if I can afford this, please come. And it's a community thing, and that's our goal, to continuously bring the community together through story and dialogue and understanding. So come shake a hand and tell your story to someone.
Well, Baba Wage Jakite, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
You're listening to The Film Show. I'm S.W. Counsor, and we have a clip for you now. It's from the short film Captured by Mackie Mallison and Henry Craddock, and it's part of the Fresh Fear screening at the Northwest Film Center.
What'd you say?
I recognize that.
Recognize what?
That. Whatever that is. What is that?
What are you pointing to?
Do you not see?
What are you pointing to?
Look at that thing right there. Tell me you do not see, like, a person or a figure. I don't know what that is.
You mean that thing?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that? Is that you?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is that me? Let's look at a different clip.
That's the exact same thing.
Is that you?
No.
No! Wait!
No!
That's me?
No! You were filming!
And you were right next to me.
And then in the other one, I was filming it and you were right next to me. We never split up during the whole night.
And now we're joined in the studio by teenage filmmakers Mackie Mallison and Henry Craddock. Mackie and Henry, congratulations on the big premiere of the film.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess it's not the premiere. You guys have played it already a couple of years ago when you were juniors in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
We made it actually in the fall of 2016 around Halloween, and that was part of the inspiration to make a horror-themed movie because of the spooky atmosphere of the time. It's actually been out for a while.
Well, let's find out about the Fresh Film Northwest Workshop, which spawned the Fresh Fear screening that's coming up. Mia Firm is here. Mia is the Education Programs Manager for the Northwest Film Center. And tell us, what sparked the interest in a special screening of horror films?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so Fresh Film Northwest is the Northwest Film Center's annual festival that celebrates short films made by teen filmmakers, age 13 to 19, for teen filmmakers. And we look at work from all over the region, so specifically the Pacific Northwest, of course. So that includes Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Alaska, and also British Columbia. And the larger festival happens every year in November. And when we were looking at our submissions for the 2017 festival, one of our jurors was actually Anthony Hudson, who folks may know as his drag avatar, Carla Rossi.
Friend of the show, yes.
Yes, yeah, and Carla hosts the queer horror event at the Hollywood Theater. And we just noticed a lot of horror films that were getting submitted to the festival. And it just sounded like a really fun idea to put all of those together and do sort of a one-off. And that's how the Fresh Fear program came about that we'll be doing on Saturday, June 9th at 2 at the Witzel Auditorium at the Film Center, which is inside the Portland Art Museum. And the event is free and open to the public.
And Carla Rossi will be the master mistress of ceremonies?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Carla Rossi will be there to host the event and do a little Q&A at the end.
So, yeah, this is something of a best of collection from recent Fresh Film screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So, Henry, Mackie, how did you get the idea? Well, how did you get the idea to be a part of the Fresh Film Northwest events?
So, The way that we go about making films is we don't make films for the festivals. Like, we make films because we're passionate about it. We want to do that. We want to make a story, or we want to tell a story. We want to make a piece of art, and then the festivals just come afterwards. So if like we want to do like share that story with people, it was just like a really great opportunity to share that and to also meet other filmmakers and other artists in the area, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys were inspired by, well, not just other horror films, but also like other genres like video games.
Yeah, so when we were younger, we used to play a lot of horror-themed video games, even though we were a bit scared at the time. But we would record the videos, and then we would post them on YouTube. And that kind of sparked our interest for the horror genre. And we had always been meaning to create a sort of found footage horror-themed short film. And then it was around Halloween, like I mentioned, and we kind of started to get this idea. And then it turned out that there was actually at our high school, Grant High School, there was a film festival going on there, and it was around the same time. So we decided, oh, we can make this film, and then it'll be just in time to submit it to this Grant High School festival.
Well, tell us a little bit about the film Captured and about how it's been received at both your high school at Grant and previously at the Film Center.
Right. So we named it Captured because the film the majority of the film is taken on a VHS camera.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So it was actually the inspiration for that kind of look that we had in there was my mom's old VHS camera was just kind of lying around. It was like the one that she used to film me on when I was like a little baby. And so that was lying around, and so we were like, okay, like this would be cool. This could show that this was a found footage film, and that these were just, you know, two kids just grabbing a camera and going with it. We called it Captured because it's captured on camera, and also the double meaning is that there's an entity trapped inside of the camera, and that's what the whole film is about.
And you've got, all student filmmakers have stories about like just when things go wrong and you have to, you know, salvage the film or you have to jerry-rig something to make sure everything goes right, the lighting or the sound or anything like that. What was making the film like? Did you recruit some of your fellow students and people from the community or what happened?
Actually, well, we've done this with basically all of the films we've ever made, which is the only crew has been us. Yeah, we've acted in it. We've filmed it. We've taken control of all that stuff. So it's rewarding, but it also can be difficult at the same time because you don't have extra people there to hold up cameras or whatnot. So that's usually a difficult part, but it's also nice because we get a little more control over how we want it. And I'd say we've gotten pretty good at being able to act in the movies as well as create them at the same time, and we can just kind of move from location to location.
Yeah. Now, Mia, you've, as part of the Northwest Film Center, you've had plenty of support. You've had workshops. You've had classes for young filmmakers.
Yeah.
Tell us about how some of that has developed.
Oh, yeah. So every summer, actually, we have summer camps for kids and teens at the Film Center. And one of the great programs that we have as part of that is the Media Arts Academy for teens. And it's a 10-day intensive where it's really a student-led production. A lot of young people who go through that program also submit their work to Fresh Film Northwest. And in that program, students get to learn screenwriting, cinematography, directing. If you want to, you can be in front of the camera as well as behind the camera. So those are open for registration right now if folks are wanting to learn how to make their own movies.
Now, I know that you've been in the local film scene for a very long time. You were one of the real keystone people in Cinema Project.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you've made films yourself. I mean, the technology just keeps developing.
Oh, yeah. Technology keeps changing, but I always like to think that, one thing that drew me to Henry and Mackie's film was definitely the use of the sort of analog technology or going back to VHS and that sort of texture of things. I always like to think of different types of technology as being different tools in your toolbox. So depending on the kind of look that you want for your film, that can be, you know, anything from Super 8 to 16 millimeter. Those are some of my preferred formats to sort of high tech stuff or high definition stuff. So I just love all the different looks of different formats and media.
So yeah, so Henry and Mackie, how did you play with that VHS? Obviously you transferred everything to digital at some point, but you know, it's kind of fun to, like Mia said, have that texture, have the little glitches that happen with VHS. How did you play with that and make it part of the creepiness and part of the story and the tone of your film?
I think we really felt like the natural glitches and things like you were talking about that occur in old technology like that, we just found really intriguing, and also like it has sort of just like a creepy feel to it, and we wanted to play with that, and we wanted to use that to help tell the story. But yeah, I think like going back to the whole what cameras we used and stuff like that, I think like it really just comes down to the story. No matter what equipment we use, the story is number one.
And we also used the difference between, because there's some scenes that are just shot on regular camera and don't have the VHS look, so we used the contrast between that to discern between the footage that was actually being filmed by us two as the characters in the story, and then footage that was more like third person watching us as we looked over it and stuff like that.
So what are some of your personal influences when you think about film or about other, you know, video games or storytelling in other forms? Do you have any favorite directors or creators or leading lights in the industry?
For me, I mean, I can only speak on my personal experience, but like I've always found this really weird, but like I've never had like one, like, or like I've never been the type of filmmaker to be like, oh yeah, well that's like a Martin Scorsese shot, or like what, I'm just throwing out names, like I don't even know who that is, like, so that just like shows like I don't know that many like film directors, I don't know like that many like old like film noir, that kind of stuff. Like I had so many thoughts in my head, and I just wanted to put them out somewhere, and I wanted to figure out how to tell them in an artistic way. And so I started making films, and I just kind of like, we like us together, we taught ourselves in doing this. We never really had like certain influences or anything like that. Maybe implicitly, but like we just kind of taught ourselves along
the
way.
That's kind of the way to do it. Just jump in at the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this being self-taught really helped us out, because we could just kind of get our own ideas out there. And we've taken inspiration from some directors and stuff like that, obviously. Christopher Nolan, he makes movies that we both really enjoy, so we try to take stuff like that. But we've really just tried to make our own style, not mimic something too closely, and yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Henry Craddock and Mackie Mallison, for joining us today to talk about your short film, Captured. What's next for you both? You're coming up in your last week of high school. Your senior is graduating soon.
Yeah, so we haven't had a whole lot of time to make any films together recently, but now that school's about to end and we've got this whole summer ahead of us, we're planning to make, you know, at least one more movie together, maybe two, before we each go off to college.
Great. And Mia Firm, how can listeners find out about the goings-on at the Northwest Film Center?
Oh, absolutely. So all of our screening events, classes, all that good stuff is at our website, nwfilm.org. And again, the program Fresh Fear is on June 9th at 2 p.m. That's a Saturday. And also the submissions for Fresh Film Northwest, which will be in November, but submissions are open right now. You can submit online. The deadline is August 13th. And just check out our website, nwfilm.org. Click on festivals and you'll get all of the info.
Thanks to all our guests today, Baba Wage Jakite, Mia Firm, Mackie Mallison, and Henry Craddock. You've been listening to The Film Show on KBOO. I'm SW Counselor. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for this show will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. And you can keep up with us on Twitter at @KBOOFilmShow. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
Community Radio is proud co